Hello and welcome everybody to the Destinations Incentive Travel Podcast. My name is Kip Lambert. I'm the brand ambassador for Destinations, totally passionate about creating wow-inducing, memorable incentive travel events. Really grateful to have you on the call today. This podcast is super exciting for me today because we get to talk about Italy. And I have a really good friend for years and partner, Michael Labotti from Ovation Italy, a wonderful destination management company and partner that handles events all over Italy. We love working with him. And so without further ado, Michael, welcome to the call today.
Hi, Chris. Thank you. Thank you for hosting me, and I'm delighted, and it's my pleasure. Likewise.
Perfect. So we've got about a 7-hour difference between us. It's the morning for me here in Utah. What is it looking like? Are you in Rome today?
Today, yeah, surprisingly, I'm in Rome. Yeah. It's looking good, although it's a very strange month. Normally, this time of the year, we would have at least an extra 8-10 degrees. So it's kind of cold here. The team over there, they turned on their central heating again because it's very cold over there. So it's quite unusual for us this time of the year to have such bad weather.
Well, is the sun shining and people are out having a good time?
Well, the sun is shining, that's for sure. But again, the temperature is a bit low. But I guess that in a week here, we'll have the opposite. So we would probably move from one extreme to the other one. So probably shift to summer, I guess, in like 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, probably flip us. It's like a flip of the switch sometimes over there where it can be cooler weather.
Yeah.
Summer will hit you
sure. First. Yeah, flippers and Bermudas, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, first things first, you know, what we like to do is to talk about you. So, you know, if people are really listening to your voice, they can probably hear a hint of an Irish accent. So, you know, let's talk about you. What's your history in the industry, and where did you get started, and how did you end up at Ovation Italy?
Well, as much as I try to, unfortunately, I can't get rid of my Irish accent, so you caught it there. Now, I've been raised in both countries when I was very young. I've lived for many years in Ireland. I was close to 14 years when, with my family, we came back to Italy. So since then, I've always been living in Italy, of course, traveling very often to the country. Now, my mother is Irish, father is Italian, and surprisingly, I own an Irish passport. I've never owned an Italian passport. I don't know if it's because of laziness or because we had to pay too many taxes on the Italian passport. Probably that. I've been in the industry since I was a kid because my father and my mother, they were both hoteliers. My father retired as a hotel manager. He was a hotel manager for several hotels in Rome. Whereas my mother was also working in hotels, and she was one of these old-fashioned housekeepers. No, you don't see them anymore now, only in a few hotels, to be honest. So that kind of role, a profile, has kind of vanished over the last years. So basically, I've grown in the hospitality industry since I was a kid. So it was almost inevitable for me to step into this industry, given my roots. Now, so like many other in this industry, I started working in hotels. At some point, I was working in a hotel here in Rome. It was the Cavalieri Hilton, one of the nicest hotels in Europe. And one of their biggest clients, their top D&C client, for whom I used to run on this program there, he asked me if I was interested in working for them because there was a vacant position. So I said, okay. I gave it a good thought and I started working there. But with my mind set on the fact that it was going to be just a short transition, as a result of that, I'm still here after 23 years, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it ended up being my life. And that was back in 1996, I believe, yeah.
Well,
so since then,
I was just going to say, so you've got this dual citizenship, right? You're an Irishman in Italy, or you're an Italian in Ireland, wherever you go, but you chose to stay and live in Italy. So what makes you so passionate about Italy rather than, say, Ireland?
Well, not nice to say. I'm not very politically correct, so I don't care. Mainly the weather.
Probably.
Mainly the weather. No, passionate about Italy. Well, you know, if you talk about people, the two cultures are very similar. They're very warm cultures, both Italian and Irish. They like to party. They like to socialize. We speak very loud, whether it's Italy or Ireland now. I guess that's the reason why my folks got on very well together, no? Good mixture, Ireland, Irish, and Italy. And business-wise, work-wise, passionate about the country, it's because of Italy, no? Because of the variety of destinations. I believe that in so many years, I've operated programs in more than 30 different destinations in the country. And, you know, we've got the north of Italy with the Alps skiing resorts. And then just below the north, we've got the lakes region. And then we've got the countryside, if you look at Tuscany, but even the Bologna area. Then we've got phenomenal sea resorts, whether it's east, west, or south. We've got great sea resorts everywhere. You know, go to Portofino on the west part of Italy, but then you go on the east part of Italy, you go to the Emilia Romagna and Rimini shores, down to the southeast, Apulia, or you go to the islands like Sicily, Sardinia, or even on the west coast, east close to Rome, Bay of Naples, Amalfi, and there's so many of them. And then, of course, we also have so many different cities, historical cities, art cities, you know, go from Venice, from Rome, Verona, Florence, of course, and even down to Sicily. So, so much really here in Italy. It's probably too much. Sometimes it's really too much.
Well, it's a favorite destination of mine. I love traveling to Italy. I feel the same warmth of family. You know, it's one of those places in Europe. You know, Ireland's definitely, I feel that it's very similar as well, where, you know, when you arrive, you're definitely treated more like family than just, you know, some tourist or somebody that's, you know, just walked off an airplane. I feel like you go to really mostly any restaurant, if you ask directions on the street, people treat you very, very warmly. And that's one of the things I definitely think can set Italy apart, especially from a place like France. You know, France is wonderful. The people are great. You know, but I think it goes without saying that it just takes a little bit more time for many of the other cultures in Europe to really warm up as quickly to people as Italy. And so the Italians do an amazing job of hospitality, and you know, I love it. So now you've been planning events for over 20 years. And one of the things I've loved about work, you know, when I'm working with you and I'm with you on site, it's your passion for events is very infectious. So where does that come from? Where does your passion for events and delighting guests come from?
Well, passionate about events because every event is different. So it's never a routine, if you know what I mean. So clearly you start and you finish, and then when you start another event, it's a complete different scenario, always. About the destination, it's because I have a privilege of working in this destination. It's a destination that, as I said, offers so many solutions, so many options. So it's really a privilege to be working in being able to operate events in this type of with these type of facilities now. And then again, with all of this, I love delighting my guests, because really I love to show them around Italy. I love to show them how wonderful this destination is, how many things Italy has to offer. And all of this, of course, drives my passion.
Oh, that's great. So what's your philosophy on delighting guests? Like, that guest experience is going to be you know, every event we've done with you, that guest experience is always first and foremost. So what would you say is the basic philosophy behind your ideas behind delighting guests and giving them a great experience?
Well, the goal, my goal is always to prove to my clients, to my guests, that Italy is always a top tier destination for any type of event, and any event that they run in Italy will be a memorable one. That's my goal and that's my scope, really.
That's great. So, you know, you and I exchanged a few emails back and forth. One of the things I wanted to prep you with was to, you know, tell me and define for me, you know, maybe what your personal mission in the industry is.
My personal mission, as I said, is also related to my philosophy. My personal mission is, again, to prove that Italy is one of the top destinations worldwide that can host any type of event. And when my mission is that of showing and proving to a client that after they do an event to Italy, they will remember that event always. Okay, there are many beautiful destinations worldwide, but when you do an event in Italy, you probably remember that for the next 10, 15 years now, differently from other places, without taking nothing away from other beautiful places that there are worldwide now. But when you do an event in Italy, you go inside one of our palaces, you go inside one of our churches, one of our monuments, you see cities like Venice, like Florence, and it's something that you will remember for a lifetime. And there are still so many people who haven't visited my country. And sometimes there is a wrong perception towards our country because we're very easygoing now. So people may think that Italy, they're not structured, they may not have the facilities, etc., which is not the case. So my scope is exactly, and my mission is that of showing, always constantly proving that Italy is the destination that is perfect for any type of event and any budget, of course.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, we share a common goal in that, where the memories that we help people make on these events has to be first and foremost. And I agree, Italy, I guess, has an unfair advantage with all the history and all the preserved, you know, the preserved monuments from, you know, Venice with St. Mark's Square and just everything that's in Venice. And then you move down into Tuscany and how, you know, Florence and that area is just, that whole area is just so influenced by the Medici family and, you know, over just centuries, just having so much history there. And then of course, Rome and the Roman Empire. So you've got the Colosseum, the Roman Forum, you got the Vatican, the Catholic Church, and their preservation of so much history and art. It's just, it's so hard to beat everything that you have to offer there. So yeah, you have an unfair advantage. So it's probably pretty easy on your side to pull off a very memorable event. Well, okay. So, you know, you and I also
and Kip, you never mentioned the food, huh? You never mentioned the food and the wine.
Yeah, that kind of goes along with Italy. You can't go to Italy and not have an amazing experience, even from the small cafes that serve your typical pizza all the way up to, you know, your very, very fine 5-star Michelin, you know, restaurants. So speak to me a little bit about that. What have you done lately with some of your incentive groups to give them a fine dining experience?
Well, fine dining experience, yes. But when an incentive group comes to Italy, they are not really looking for fine dining. That's quite rare, because when people come to Italy, they want to have the local food, the local flavors, the local atmosphere. So it's mainly about local food and traditional experiences and wines, of course. Fine dining, yes, we have a lot of fine dining restaurants, of course, but the majority of the clients we deal with, they're always looking for something different, something that the locals would do. And this is the type of experiences that we try to give them as much as possible. And that's whether they're going to a local restaurant or whether they're also going to an impressive venue, where maybe you have an impressive venue with marbles, frescoes on the walls. You may have an orchestra with six or eight elements there entertaining you with violins, etc. But then you would serve maybe a pasta matriciana, which is a very traditional meal, no? A traditional dish.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I guess that kind of leads me to the next part of what you and I kind of envisioned to talk about today was, you know, so many groups are looking to kind of break the script of their previous events, right? They have groups that and they have incentive winners that have been all over the world. They've done many trips over the years. And so, you know, so many planners and so many of us are tasked with the important thing in our industry to really kind of come to the table with unique ideas and really break the script of what people are expecting or used to. So like, you know, recently, how have you been able to break the script and bring some creative ideas into the programs that you've been able to execute there in Italy?
Recently, about a couple of years ago, I convinced the client who wanted to operate a program in Sicily, so down in the south of Italy, I convinced this client to do the program in Verona, about 1,300 kilometers more north.
Wow.
So like from black to white. And
yeah.
And the client was delighted. It was delighted. At some point, I thought I was crazy and that I misunderstood the brief completely. But then when I showed them the destination, I showed them the options, the solutions in that city, which is Verona, he was just impressed and he was amazed. He told me that it was one of the best programs they ever operated. And the best program he operated was in Portofino, Udo. So I got two out of two there.
That's great.
Verona, it's an interesting destination. It's overshaded by Venice because it's just about an hour and a half drive away from Venice. So it's very close to Venice. So it's shaded by Venice. But Verona is an amazing destination because it offers history. Verona has the second largest ancient Roman arena in the world after the Colosseum in Rome. It has lots of history. It has great shopping facilities. It has impressive palaces that you could use for doing private functions. But then in a range of 50 kilometers around Verona, there is the production of three of the best qualities of wine in Italy: Valpolicella, Amarone, and Prosecco. So lots of wineries to go to where you can dine, you do wine tasting, cooking classes, etc. And then also very close to Verona, there is one of the largest lakes in Europe, which is the Lake Garda. So many things to do in such a small destination that people, they do know, but they always underestimate the destination. So if people, when I'm asked, which is your favorite destination in Italy, I would say Verona. Why? Because Verona offers this and offers that and offers that. And then Verona, if you go to Verona anytime between June and early August, there's also the opera festival. So you could go there and see the opera in the ancient Roman arena. And the tickets, they're not outrageous, because you could buy a ticket, a cheap ticket, for maybe 30, 40 euros, up to the more expensive tickets right in front of the stage with 250, 300 euros. And some of these performances, there could be more than 15,000 people attending. So it's really an impressive experience in Verona.
Well, that's really cool. So the client was pretty happy with the...
He was.
And yeah, so that's awesome to be able to break the script and show somebody something that is off the beaten path and so different from maybe what their expectations were. And after having it executed, you know, just being wowed.
Yeah.
How many people was that program? I mean, what's the ideal size for a place like Verona?
The ideal size for a place of Verona would be in the range of 120, maximum 150 people, mainly because of the hotels, okay? Yeah. Quality hotels, they don't have a big number of rooms, okay? So that would be the only limit there in Verona.
Yeah.
So a good size group could range from 40 to maximum 150 people.
So tell me about some of the creativity that Ovation and your team pull off for these events. Can you give me maybe one or two examples of some very creative things that you've been able to pull off lately?
Sure. But when you speak about creativity, there's always something that is parallel to creativity, a budget. If you have a budget, you can be very creative, of course, because you have a bottom, you don't have any bottom there, so you can really bring up, you can involve external consultants, you can find great ideas, etc. So the real creativity, in my opinion, comes out when you're able to work out a solution that is a great solution, that is a unique solution, and with a small budget. Don't you agree?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
In this sense, I'm so dedicated to this, to what I do, that even during my free time, I always think about work. So, you know that in Italy, we're full of churches, whether it's Rome or Florence. So occasionally when I walk around Rome, I run into some minor churches, which are not as famous like the many basilicas that we have, like St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John, or Santa Maria del Fiore in Florence. But they're still quite impressive churches in terms of architecture. So what do they do? I built a relationship with a few of the parish priests of these churches, no? So with them, we have made a gentleman agreement, because there's no such thing as a contract with a parish priest, of course. And thanks to this agreement, we give them a donation, which is really a minimum amount. And in exchange of that donation, they would close the church for our group. And inside the church, we would hold lyrical concerts. Two or three or four areas inside, it's at the exclusive of our groups now. And typically we do this in Rome, in a church, and it's a surprise, because the clients are doing a walking tour of the city center, and then our guides are fairly aware. They just pass by this church and they pretend that it's open. But they tell the client, oh, look at this, incredible. This church is always closed and today it's open. Just let's go inside and see what's happening. So everybody goes inside, start looking at the church, and then in a few minutes from a balcony, a soprano comes out and he greets the guests, and an organ player starts playing music, and the soprano starts singing for our guests. And the guests are clearly amazed, because they weren't expecting that. And again, it's still a very, very exclusive activity that has really a minimum cost, because the donation doesn't even go up to 500 euros, which is nothing, no?
Yeah. No, and I think I totally agree with, if you want to get very, very creative, budget has to coincide with that. You got to have a healthy budget, be able to pull off some crazy ideas. But you know what you just described to me reminds me of an event that we did together several years back, where you know we wanted to do a lunch. We ended a walking tour at Villa Borghese at the museum, and as we walked out, we had a few performers, and then we had a picnic lunch set out on the grass. You know, and really, the cost of that was so minimal, but you know, after these people just had the Villa Borghese experience in the museum and seeing those beautiful sculptures by Bernini and others, and then coming out and being treated to a very simple, you know, musical performance along with, you know, a quiet picnic lunch for each couple. That was an event where I still run into these people years later, and they'll always just say, do you remember that time in Italy when you did that picnic lunch for us? That was just incredible. And so you know, you can still use a little bit of creativity. If your budget's not there, you can still pull off something very memorable.
Yeah. And this is exactly what I was saying when I was speaking about doing an event in Italy. My mission is that of making sure that any event that they do here becomes and stays memorable to them.
So I guess that would be one of the questions I would have then. If you had a client with an unlimited, almost bottomless budget,
mm-hmm.
what would you do with them? What would your dream creative event look like?
Well, you know, Kip, actually, this has happened already. I did have some years ago the type of clients that you just described with a bottomless budget. And what we did was, it was a supercars trip. It was a 7 days trip. And we did 2 nights in the Amalfi Coast, 2 nights in Rome, 1 night in Tuscany, and we ended up in Lake Como. So we overall, we did a 7 days trip. Yeah. And we drove from the Amalfi Coast to the Lake Como with the cars. And we had 24 supercars between Lamborghini, Maserati, and Ferrari. Plus, wow. we also had, again, I told you it was a bottomless budget. So we also had 2 emergency cars. One of them was a Lamborghini. And clearly, they needed someone to drive every so and then the Lamborghini from the emergency car, the Lamborghini from spot to the other one. And guess who did that?
They needed you to do that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they had to convince me and force me. Yeah, it was a tough decision. Yeah. Fair enough. That was the experience. And of course, in all of this, clearly we used great hotels, fantastic hotels, and we ended up in Lake Como. And at the time, it had just opened after a few months, and it's now the new Mandarin Hotel. It's been taken over by the Mandarin Hotel. It's the former Casa Viva Hotel, beautiful hotel on the Lake Como, no more than 60 rooms. It's actually not rooms, it's mainly suites. Amazing, amazing property. And that's where we ended the trip, and it was just great. Goes without saying that in terms of food and beverage, again, they had the best of the best of the country had to offer.
Well, and I bet that's a fun memory for you, because it was probably a very fulfilling, fun event for you to plan and to pull off. Okay, well, not everybody has that bottomless budget, and not everybody's been to Italy yet. So there's a subset of companies out there where their incentive program is growing. You know, maybe they're an American company, especially ones we work with, and they've done more of the warm weather close by, say Caribbean cruises, Mexico, Costa Rica. Now they're ready for that cultural experience, and Italy is always going to be at the top of the Europe bucket list. So if you're helping a company that I'm describing like this with a 5-night program, what would be your suggestion on a sample itinerary for them to do to pull off a very good, but you know, maybe it's a little more on a budget type program?
Well, if they're willing to do a split program, I would definitely recommend a split between Rome and Florence, or eventually split between Rome and Venice. And in between Florence, where you could actually spend a day on your way and route. Yeah, but definitely my first suggestion would be a split between Rome and Florence, because you would really get the best of the country with these two destinations.
So what would be a signature event that you would hope to plan for a group like this that may be a little more basic, but that would maybe be a signature event that would really give them that great impression of their Italian experience?
Well, in Rome, definitely a cocktail inside the Vatican.
Wow.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. In Florence, a cocktail inside the Gucci Museum.
Oh, that's cool. Got to do those. Well, you know, as we wind down our call here, I just wanted to maybe talk about 2 experiences I've had with you. And just to kind of reminisce a little bit. I remember one program we did was a split program, and this one, the client wanted to do Venice and Rome. And, you know, as we were working with you, you kind of interjected and said, well, how can we put Florence in there? How can we, at least give people a taste of Florence. And you did this perfectly with us, as you know, we had 3 nights in Venice, and then we took an early train from Venice to Florence. And you had a walking tour ready for us where we did Florence. We saw the Statue of David. We did every piazza that you'd want to do. We did the old, you know, Ponte Vecchio, the old bridge. And we saw everything in Florence that we could in that limited time. And what was great about that is that you helped us arrange a luggage truck that would just transport the bags, everybody's luggage, straight from Venice down to Rome, so that while we were on the train, we didn't have to worry about our large suitcases. And then we could tour Florence as long as was necessary. And then we got on the late train and made it into Rome, and we had an amazing time there. And that was a great way to make that program work. But I think the thing that I'm really grateful for you and your team is, we had a client, if you remember back in 2015, they came to us and they said, okay, we have this group, it's going to be a cruise. Many of the people are going to come and do pre-stays. And we worked with you on hotels and logistics for all these people. But we had probably, it was a group of about 700 people. And we had about half of the group arriving the day the cruise started. And this client was just adamant that those people getting off a flight would come into Rome, do a quick walking tour of Rome, and then get on a bus and get back down to catch the ship. And we were trying to tell the client, listen, you know, this is probably going to be too much. But you were able to come in and say, look, it's probably not ideal, but at the same time, we can create a great experience for these people. And you helped us map out a perfect walking tour with very limited time, to where these people were picked up at the airport, dropped at a central location near the Colosseum where it started a walking tour, and they zigzagged down to Spanish Steps, to the Pantheon, to Piazza Navona, and then ended up at the Vatican. And, you know, with around 350 people we need to move on that, we didn't lose one person. Everybody had a great time. The one complaint that we had is that, boy, they wish they would have had more time in Rome to spend. And I think that they probably ended up accomplishing that later on maybe a different trip. But so grateful for you and your team to help us pull off what seemed like it was maybe a little bit of an impossible task. So how have you been able to do that, to become an expert at just pulling off almost impossible?
Well, I remember this project, honestly, and I remember clearly one detail when this question was raised by your client. And what we did was we looked at the flight manifest. So based on the arrival times, we created 3 or 4 different itineraries. With the first one, for example, being the longer one, so the one that had more inclusions and more stops, clearly because it was the one for those who were arriving on the earlier flight. Then as people were arriving on later flights, we had different itineraries up to the very, very last flight, for which we only allowed them with some free time in the central of Rome. But the overall principle was that whichever was the tour they were taking part to, every tour and everybody ended up in the same place. So that was the secret of that. So there was a lot of planning behind that. And then putting together these type of itineraries, activities and operations, I mean, that's experience, of course. It's experiencing a destination. And it's also working together with good suppliers, because it's not that we decide and determine things all on our own. We always talk to our suppliers, because to the bus drivers, to the guides, to the staff, because they're the ones that are on the road every day. So they're the ones that see things, that see how things evolve They could tell you if on certain days of the week it's not wise to go and see the Vatican because the lines that day are too long in front of the metal detector. So if the client wants to go there, we tell him in advance, listen, it's not the case to do this. So why don't you do this? So it's experience, but also dealing with a team and a supplier's community with whom you can rely on, okay, and that you can trust. Because again, what they say is very important because they're the ones that experience directly every day. So this has to always be taken under consideration. And then it's always very, very important to always plan everything ahead of time. Always, always. There's nothing that has to be left at the last minute or played by the ear. Then again, you can confirm this. When it matters, when you're on site, things change in the run. But at least if there's a good planning behind, even if there are changes, you can manage the changes easily. Because you only get one problem. You don't get more problems.
Well, and that's where, like you said, that's where the experience comes in is when changes happen and maybe they're unexpected. You know, you're able to, your experience lends itself to be able to patch up and create, you know, alternative plans that really the guest doesn't see. The guest only really maybe sees them as small speed bumps where a change needed to be made. But really the goal is that, you know, the guest has no idea that a problem arose or, you know, an alternate plan needed to be taken because their experience is seamless. Well, Michael, thank you so much for your call. We just love working with Ovation Ireland and Michael and his team at Destinations. They are a valued, true partner where the guest experience, the traveler's experience is always the most important thing whenever we plan a program. And Michael, I count you as a dear friend and true partner. And I thank you, you know, really thank you for joining me today.
Okay, thank you. It was a pleasure, Kip, and thank you so much for considering me for this podcast. I really appreciate it. And I hope that I gave you a good overview of what this destination has to offer. And of course, the capabilities of my company.
Yeah, you absolutely did. I really, really appreciate it. All right, well, arrivederci, and I can't wait to see
arrivederci.
A future program.